recording?
You're listening to
Source News
on 4EB Community Radio, presented by Griffith University students.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Source News. I'm Chelsea Miller.
And I'm Tyler Cahoon.
And we're excited to bring you the latest news in and around Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Coming up in the show, new homeowners are losing patience over construction delays, and Pimpama locals respond to increased RBT searches after a surge of drink driving cases.
And later, are children spending too much time on screens? We'll talk to the experts and hit the streets to find out. We'll then look at the effects of global inflation and how it's affecting local businesses. And finally, how locals are rallying behind a Gold Coast charity's mission to combat human trafficking.
We've got a jam-packed half hour for you all, so make sure to keep it here on The Source News.
But before we get into this week's headlines, we'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the Yugambeh country on which we broadcast today, and would like to pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
If you're a homeowner building your new house and annoyed with delays, you're not alone. Tradie and supply shortages are surging, infuriating homeowners and increasing wait times for new homes to be built. Here's Chelsea Miller with more.
Australians who have begun building their family homes endure a long wait ahead. New build homeowners have been left frustrated by the industry crisis that has blown out construction times by months. As a result of the pandemic, global supply chain disruptions have triggered material and tradie shortages. New build homeowner Peter Chester says a lack of communication has only made the situation worse.
They've been doing absolutely nothing. They've been lying to us and telling us it's going to be finished next week, and it's been a year and it's still not finished. They could have been communicated a lot better with us to let us know rather than just lie to us and tell us it's going to be finished when it's not.
Peter says her frustration is a result of more than just waiting an excessive amount of time.
We've been renting and we've moved quite a few times because during school holidays and the Gold Coast Marathon, the rents went up excessively and we couldn't afford to stay there. So we've had to stay at people's houses during those times and then we go back to rentals in hotels. We've got 5 people in the family and trying to find accommodation has been very, very costly for the family and very difficult for all of us. I would have liked them to tell us from the start how long it was actually going to take. We would have rented for a year, not 6 months like they told us, and then had to try and find new rentals. It just seems lack of organisation on the builder's behalf.
Construction site manager Adam Richards says all components of building is currently being interrupted.
When it comes to building a house, there's a few factors that are involved in that. Okay, one is supply, so obviously supply materials. The other is labour, and one of the other major things is the permit system. Obviously getting your draftsman to draw up plans, you have to go through engineers. And at the end of the day, everything has to go to council. So in relation to the pandemic at the moment, obviously there's been a massive shortage of materials. The majority of materials that we use in building come from overseas. So we import, not us as builders, but the people we buy it off or the manufacturers are really struggling on that side of things. And as a builder, you know, we're stuck in a position that if we literally can't get supply materials, we can't build a house, which is obviously very frustrating for the owners.
Adam says the issue goes far beyond material shortages and the building company's organisational skills.
During COVID, obviously there was no works being done, and then essentially when we came out of COVID, there was just a massive amount of work that needed to be done, and there's simply no one out there. I don't think this is a company issue. We're supported by our company. labour in Australia, generally, we have a massive problem with. There's just not enough skilled people to do the work that's required. There's a lack of training with regard to apprenticeships, you know, the pathways for apprenticeships and TAFE colleges and trade schools and all that are now very limited. Not a lot of kids are doing trades. The incentives are just not there. So the flow-on effect is, you know, we have a massive shortage of tradespeople in this country. That combined with a massive surge in demand, it's just a huge storm. You know, we need more tradespeople, and that's the reality of it. But unfortunately, with COVID, it's just amplified the situation significantly. I think it's more a government issue, you know, training of staff and, you know, allowing us to be able to employ people. We're screaming to employ people, but there's no one out there. Until those things get addressed, I'm not too sure what more our company can do with regard to, you know, international imports and lack of tradespeople and lack of skilled staff. That's unfortunately something that the company can't control. To me, it's really above and beyond the company, to be honest.
Let's hope the construction industry is able to weather this storm the best that they can.
Thanks to Chelsea Miller for that report.
From a little suburb to a booming community, Pimpamar is now home to three licensed drinking venues, with the most recent opening up last week. Unfortunately, with these venues being so close together, the risk of drink driving has increased dramatically. With police presence increasing, locals are responding with mixed views. Monique Greck has the story.
RBT means you need a plan B. Unfortunately, this message has been lost as the level of drink drivers in the Gold Coast suburb Pimpamar has increased over the past few months. Residents and workers in the area are divided on the seriousness of the issue and the different factors causing the levels to increase. With the new tavern opening up, an increase of police presence and a lack of access to Ubers and taxis in the area has made local residents concerned. Pimpamar Tavern duty manager Zane Connolly believes the level of drink driving has escalated out of control.
I think that it's getting out of control. We're having RBTs on every second street, and the amount of people that we know that are getting pulled over every week is getting ridiculous, and people aren't learning their lesson.
Local resident Gary L has conflicting views on the level of drink driving in the area.
No, I don't think it's bad. My real reason is because there isn't a massive pub culture or a vast array of pubs. I don't think people would necessarily travel to the pubs here for a reason. They would stay with their local pub.
Like Gary has theorised, people would only travel as far as their local tavern, meaning the introduction on the new tavern will potentially lower the drink driving levels.
If you've got someone on the other side of Pimpamar who come here, they have to make that choice. Are they going to drive, or are they going to Uber in? Or are they going to try and run the gauntlet, basically? Come in, potentially, like, you know, drink too much, and then drive back. Then that's on them. So at the minute, that's why there's a higher risk, in my opinion, of driving. Whereas, if that opens, and there's someone over there, they don't have to drive here now. They can go to there. That's my theory.
Pimpamar Tavern bartender Nikita Wilson opposes this view with beliefs the level of drink drivers will increase in the area with the new tavern open and functioning.
It's another access to alcohol. It somewhat promotes more drinking and more misbehaviour.
In March of this year, Pimpamar welcomed a police station to the area, which has reportedly caught a mass amount of drink drivers.
Actually, yeah, I think they have. I think them making a presence these last few weeks has definitely put everyone on high alert. They probably could always catch more, but...
ANZIC security guard Robert Urquhart understands the seriousness of the issue but puts it down to the police to keep drink drivers at bay once they leave a licensed venue.
There's not really much we can do. It's more a police thing. We can keep an eye on people, but once they leave our doors, we got no control over what they do.
With the new presence of police in the area, tavern goers should be exploring other options that aren't drink driving. Unfortunately, even with Pimpamar being a growing suburb, it is still difficult to rely on public transport, mainly Ubers and taxis, to be the sober drivers on a night out. Nikita Wilson understands this is a large factor for the growth of drink driving levels from personal work experience.
having more resources. I feel a lot of people struggle to find Ubers to get here, and a lot of them cancel on them, which then results to them to just cave in and drive home.
Many local residents and workers of Pimpamar have given their opinion on the level of drink driving in the area, and here are their thoughts.
Yes, it is. The reason why, I personally probably done the wrong thing a few times, so I truly believe it needs to be more police.
Yes, because, well, the new police station, like, that only opened, what, a month ago or so, and it's caught how many drivers? Reportedly, someone said 400 people, which is huge.
The new tavern opening up has caused some concern for the local residents and workers of the area as well.
The leg increase down there mainly because there's never any RBTs down there. They're always up toward the other, our tavern side this way. So down there, they'll start doing them along your upper road, but also start doing them along Dixon Drive and Finnegan Way and all that. So people might want to watch out.
I'd say it would. There's no doubt about it. There's always drink drivers.
As we can see, the residents and workers of the Pimpamar area do have conflicting views, but all in all understand and are concerned about the level of drink drivers around their community.
Thank you, Monique, for that report. And to our listeners, make sure to stay safe out there, drink responsibly, and never drive under the influence.
It's International Youth Day tomorrow, which is all about bringing attention to some of the difficulties that the younger generation are experiencing throughout the world. Now, I'm not sure about you, Chelsea, but it really makes me think about how much our lives change from generation to generation.
Yeah, I agree, Tyler, especially with how quickly technology has developed. Now we're going to take a closer look into this as we hear from Benjamin Trude investigating how too much screen time can affect the health and well-being of the younger generation.
Our world and the way we live is constantly changing, and so too is the environment our younger generations grow up in. When we think about our childhood memories, while those from baby boomers and Gen Xers might include running around the neighbourhood, playing tag or building forts, for some millennials and certainly many people from Gen Z, their memories might reflect something more like this. Younger generations today are growing up with smartphones, tablets, gaming consoles and other electronic devices literally at their fingertips. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the average child aged between 11 and 14 spends over 9 hours in front of a screen per day. Now, the list of side effects from too much screen time is long and complex, but according to the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, some of the most significant include obesity, eye strain and short-sightedness. I spoke with Leonard Veerman, a professor of public health at Griffith University, and he explained that by children spending their time on screens, other positive ways in which they should spend their time are often neglected.
Since there's only 24 hours in a day, that goes at the expense of something else, and that could be homework, that could be reading a book, but often that's also physical activity, so it makes it easier to have that sedentary behavior.
When physical activity is replaced with screen time, the potential health risks associated are certainly alarming.
Countless studies, follow-up studies following people, show that there's highly likely to be a causal relationship between a lack of physical activity and all kinds of chronic diseases, likewise for obesity.
So, what can we do to ensure our children are not spending too much time on their devices and do not become vulnerable to these health risks? Professor Veerman says it's certainly not an easy task, but that it's up to parents to act as role models for their children.
It's a tough problem. Making, setting some norms and rules is important. But then, of course, you also have to set the example. And if you set rules, then live by them yourself as well.
Perhaps as a child, you'd heard the cliche, your eyes will go square. Another significant factor to the consequences of screen time is the effects it can have on our eyes. To find out more, I reached out to Dr. Katrina Schmid, an associate professor at the Centre for Vision and Eye Research in Queensland. Dr. Schmid explained that, simply put, as humans, we are not designed to sit and stare at screens for hours on end.
Really, our visual system is just not developed to look up close for that long a period of time. You have systems, made to look far, look close, look at and do a whole range of different kind of activities. It was not really developed to just look up close.
The side effects of staring at screens for prolonged periods of time differ between age groups, and the younger generation are indeed at risk of some adverse consequences.
In young people and kids, so, you know, the less than 10, 12-year-olds, our major concern is myopia development. So there's an association between spending hours and hours and hours per day on this kind of devices up close for short-sightedness to develop.
Whilst short-sightedness is perhaps among the most major of the side effects, Dr. Schmid went on to explain that people suffer from a range of other factors.
There's a whole group of people who get other kind of symptoms, eye strain symptoms from using devices all the time, which could be, you know, tiredness, headaches, blurred vision, burning and teary eyes, fatigue.
So in an environment where we find technology in most aspects of life, it's up to us to lead by example and ensure our younger generation spend less time on screens. Perhaps we should encourage them to get up off their devices and live for the real world, not for the pixels on their screens. This has been Benjamin Trude reporting.
Thanks, Ben, for that valuable insight.
While he's spoken to the experts, we wanted to hear your thoughts on the topic. So, do you reckon kids are getting too much screen time?
Yeah, I think they do. I feel like they need to get outside more and just see the world and just to see and, like, play outside so that they can actually develop their social skills properly rather than just be on a screen. And it's also better for your health as well.
I think they do nowadays compared to when I was a kid. We didn't even have screens. We spent most of our time running around the neighbourhood, riding bikes, building forts, playing cricket, footy. I don't see that as often now as I did when I was younger, when I was a kid.
I think yes, because there has been a decrease in kids that enjoy going outside and doing creative things on their own.
I think some people do. I think you can put a limit to it. I think younger kids have too much time on social media and technology, and it's also good to do some exercise.
Can kids spend too much time on screens?
100%. But are you actually learning anything in this time? You know, you are surely gaining creative skills, but you're definitely overspending your time on screens.
Oh, I think it's stupid. Like, when I was a kid, we grew up playing manhunt and stuff, and, like, outdoors, and had, like, loads of friends. I think now kids are depressed and overweight, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
So you think that the depression and obesity comes specifically from them having too much time on their
sitting
screen?
Sitting indoors and watching too much iPads and video games and things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hear the older generations, for example, saying how there's not as many kids outside, because guess where they are? They're inside. So, yes, without any doubt.
Well, from personal experience, I would say it's probably too high.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My personal feeling is we've shifted too far in the direction of using IT at school and in the home, I think.
Yes, I do. The reason being is you don't see any kids out on the street, out playing with their neighbours. In the backyard, playing imaginary games, they're always inside.
Wow, it seems we had an overwhelming response from the public that kids do spend too much time on screens. Hey, Chelsea.
Yes, that is very interesting. Well, we hope you've all enjoyed that segment.
In other news, local businesses have been dealt another blow as inflation, the rising cost of materials, and shipping delays impact an already struggling sector. Here is Adam Drought with the story.
Local business owners are once again finding themselves feeling the pinch as rising inflation continues to impact southeast Queensland. The construction industry in particular continues to suffer, with the rising cost of materials crippling many Gold Coast construction companies. John Dillon, joint owner and managing director of Australian Joinery Products, says inflated cost of materials have impacted his company more ways than one.
So the impact, when I say it's significant from an actual dollar point of view, but it's also very significant from people's time point of view to try and negotiate around all this and try and come up with a solution that, you know, and offer different materials or trying to lower the cost in some other regard. It really has been extremely difficult to do that because the suppliers that supply to us have the same cost issues.
With increased costs adding to the ever-mounting pressure for these companies, shipping delays created by the COVID-19 pandemic continue to cause mayhem and frustration.
In another business I've got, it imports materials for joinery businesses, and we import from Europe. Where we would normally wait for something to get manufactured in a month, we were waiting up to 6 months.
Professor of Economics and Dean of Academics at the Griffith University Business School, Professor Fabrizio Carmignani, says the issues impacting Gold Coast business owners is a combination of domestic and international factors.
What we are observing right now, of course, is a global phenomenon. It's not just the Gold Coast or Queensland. It's a global phenomenon. Disruption of global supply chains, the geopolitical instability across the world, all the liquidity that has been pumped into the system over the last couple of years in order to sustain the economy during COVID now is causing inflation together with the supply side shocks.
However, new data indicates this economical nightmare could be over sooner than expected.
The new inflation data for the second quarter of 2022 were released, showing that inflation is at 6.1%, but the rate of increase is declining. So inflation is still growing, but at a decelerating speed, which means that we might be approaching the peak. Construction has always been quite solid, but in terms of materials and being able to complete the supply chain process, I expect that we should see significant improvements within the next 6 months that hopefully will start to get better.
With the construction industry potentially getting the economic relief it desperately needs, experts warn the future remains bright yet uncertain.
If we look at the comments of the governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia, he recently said that he would expect inflation to start declining in 2023. My expectation is that in the medium period, so past the next 18 months, we should be back on a stable, healthy economic path. But the next 12 to 18 months could be a bit rocky.
This has been Adam Drought reporting live from the Gold Coast.
Thanks for that report, Adam.
For majority of Australians, human trafficking is something we will never have to face. Yet for young girls and women living in poverty in Nepal and the Philippines, the thought of a better life can lead to a reality far more grim than they could ever imagine. But one local charity is fighting to put an end to human trafficking, and Gold Coast and Brisbane locals are running along in support. Tyler Cahoon has the story. Please note, the following report features challenging material discussing human trafficking, rape, sexual abuse of minors and abortion. Listener discretion is advised.
Brisbane and Gold Coast locals are tying their shoelaces and hitting the ground running this month for the Stop Trafficking 5K charity event. Each year throughout August, teams across 12 countries run to raise money to stop cyber sex crime and human trafficking of young girls and women in Nepal and the Philippines. The French Beauty Academy is one of the local teams participating in the event and has become one of its biggest financial supporters. With their Gold Coast and Brisbane events in just a few days, French Beauty Academy Director of Strategy and Brand Angie Gaffney says they have proudly participated every year, even amongst COVID, with employees continuing to spread the word.
We do a trafficking run every year. The first year we actually held it during COVID, and we're really proud that we raised over $70,000. We've got approximately about 130 staff that work across our three campuses. The majority of staff will participate in the event, and then they will bring their husband or their kids or their friends, which is so exciting.
Gold Coast charity Captivating Australia began the Stop Trafficking 5K back in 2016 and uses the event to help fund their border interception, safe haven and education projects, teaching those at risk how to stay safe. Events manager for Stop Trafficking 5K, Daniela May, says cyber sex crime rates in the Philippines are among the worst in the world, with COVID-19 and poverty only increasing trafficking desperation in Nepal.
Philippines is currently classed as number one in the world for cyber sex and online offences towards children and adolescents. In Nepal, human trafficking is driven by poverty and desperateness, and COVID certainly not helped that in both countries, really.
As a mother herself, Mrs. May says one heartbreaking story impacted her greatly, but that story and others continue to prove how important and special the event is in changing the lives of so many.
One story in particular, I remember sitting at my desk just crying. She was a 14-year-old girl who was raped she fell pregnant. And in that culture and society, you become an outcast because of what's happened to you. And so she was brought into our safe haven, finally had an abortion. We are helping her through the recovery, rehabilitation. And as a mother of a daughter, I couldn't imagine that happening. We get to receive stories from the field of lives that are really changed and impacted because of this event. It's really special when we can make a difference to that degree in someone's life.
Angie Gaffney says Captivating Australia's positive impact on young women and girls empowered the French Beauty Academy to make a global impact, especially with many of its employer base being no stranger to family and domestic violence.
One of the things that we're very affected by being in predominantly all-female environment is family and domestic violence. A lot of our students come from low socioeconomic backgrounds. When we discovered what Captivating do and the impact they have on these children and women's lives, we thought how beautiful to be able to do something domestically, but then also do something globally.
Mrs. Gaffney says she encourages locals to get involved, whether donating the cost of a coffee or walking alongside to spread awareness, as something so little can make a big difference.
Giving up your coffee for the day for $5, it's nothing to us, and it makes an incredible difference on the other side of the world. Even if you can't donate money, you can come down and join us and you can walk. And by doing that, you're raising awareness, and that is in itself a really powerful thing.
To donate or sign up for the event, head to StopTrafficking5k.org for more information. This is Tyler Cahoon signing off. Remember to live gratefully and give freely.
What a thought-provoking story. It's so great to see so many locals getting involved in such an incredible cause. Thank you, Tyler, for that inspiring report. On that note, that brings us to the end of this episode of The Source News.
Make sure to tune in every week on Tuesdays and Thursdays to hear more from student journalists like us.
Until next time, make sure to support local and keep smiling.
We hope to see you again
here on The Source News.
Are we recording?
You're listening to
Source News
on 4EB Community Radio, presented by Griffith University students.